Good morning, afternoon, night, Jesuit community. Broadcasting live today from the Bartholomew Residence, this is the Scotty Bart Sports Show. I'm your host, Christian Bartholomew, and alongside the co-host, the Italian Stallion, Scott Weiss.
How's it going, everybody? Got a big show on tap today. We're going to get you started with some big Jesuit news, followed up with some scores, present to you our Athlete of the Week and our Mystery Guest of the Week, and then we'll close things up. We do, however, have a special guest in studio today. I'd like to introduce Lynch Lancaster. He's also our stud, our sports and talk universal deliverer. Good day, Lynch.
Good day, guys.
Pleasure to have you on the show, buddy.
Great to be here.
Let's go ahead and get started, Scotty. And now, Jesuit, it's Diamond Talk.
Play ball.
Your Dallas Jesuit varsity baseball team now stands at 13-4 overall after going 3-2 in their past Highland Park tournament at Dallas Jesuit. Now, Scott, before we get going here, isn't there something just a little bit wrong with the name of the tournament, Highland Park Tournament at Dallas Jesuit?
Could it be that perhaps the Highland Park tournament wasn't actually at Highland Park?
You know, I'm a little perplexed here. Lynch?
That's definitely strange.
Anyways, after two opening day losses to Rowlett and Keller, the Dallas Jesuit Rangers bounced back and won three consecutive games against Midlothian, Guyer, and North Richland Hills on Friday and Saturday, securing a 3-2 overall record for the tournament. Now, not necessarily putting them in first place, but not in last either.
You know, I heard Josh Bell might have had a home run. Is that true?
Well, Scott, rumors do derive from the truth, and I'm going to go ahead and make this kind of bold statement that he's a good player.
That's a novel idea.
He had two home runs.
Oh, did he?
The folks at Tupinambas, beware. The balls are coming.
Moving on to soccer, Jesuit had a 3-3 penalty kick loss to Lake Highlands despite an Eni Bryce hat trick.
You know, Scott, it seems every week Eni Bryce is scoring goal after goal after goal after goal.
He does tend to bring his A game. They did respond, however, to that penalty kick loss with a 6-0 win against Samuel.
Jeez, the old Niller.
Yeah, it's a dangerous one whenever you don't get on the board and concede six goals. Jesuit seems to be gathering momentum at the right time, and let's see if they can repeat as state champions.
You know, Scott, it's awfully tough to come from being state champions to losing a few games at home. But, you know, knowing Coach Charlie DeLong and this tough-minded Jesuit Rangers team, I know they're going to go really deep into the playoffs this year.
They've really got that bulldog mentality.
You could say that.
Let's see what they do down the stretch, and hopefully they can make a deep run. These scores pale in comparison, however, to the big news announced at Jesuit this week. For that, we're going to turn to our inside analyst, our stud, Lynch Lancaster. Lynch, what do you have for us?
Well, Friday marked the signing of a new head football coach at Jesuit. Coach Hickman got the job.
Not only did it sign a new head coach, it signed a new era for Dallas Jesuit.
It is. It's going to be a very different program, and I'm excited.
Now, as a 3-year veteran on the Jesuit football squad, how do you think this is going to impact our playoff opportunities?
Well, we're definitely pushing ourselves a lot harder this year, and I think we're actually going to do really well next season.
It'd be nice for us to be able to match the success we've had in other sports, and I'm hoping this new signing will be able to do just that.
Coach Hickman brings in some college experience. I'm really thinking that's going to help out a lot this year.
I think so, too. It's going to be a great season.
Go Rangers. And now for the hot sports topic of the week. Interesting news in the baseball diamond, Scotty. Samuel, Lake Highlands. Final score, 52-0. Now, you may be questioning right now, is it basketball?
Is it football?
Is it golf? The answer to all those? No, it's baseball. How? Do teams have the right to run up the score by that much?
I think as a team you have a responsibility to call off the dogs when it gets to be ridiculous.
And that is ridiculous. What about you, Lynch?
Well, I think an example that everyone should know would be the Covenant Dallas Academy game from a couple of years ago where they ran up the score 100-0. And honestly, I think that's a little shameful.
But for it to be qualified as an actual game in the Samuel game, they had to play 5 innings. Now, the coach limited them to only stopping advancing one bag after any hits. I mean, where's the pride often seen in baseball? Where has it gone?
Well, I think the steroid era really killed that one. But when you get up 20-0, I think you have a duty to go up there and just swing and miss. Try not to put the ball in play and get the game over with, because really it was apparent from the opening pitch that Samuel didn't have a chance.
Well, I think 20-0 is too high. I'd go 10-0 and then call off the dogs.
Well, 10-0's a little iffy because the run rule is 10. I mean, you like to tone it down once you hit the run rule, but, you know, you don't ever want to give a team a chance to get back in the game.
Now, but I think it really is going to matter on the game. If you're playing a rival, somebody that's really been dogging you all these years, don't you want to run up the score just a tad?
Sometimes when the other team gets up in your face, you got to show them who's boss.
Gah! What? And that's going to conclude today's hot sports topic of the week.
All these sports stories pale in comparison, however, to the lacrosse 13-11 victory over the Coppell Cowboys. We have today with us Alex Petzos for our mystery interview of the week. Alex, how are you?
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me on. Big fan of the show. I love what you guys do down there.
Excellent, excellent. Tell me a little bit about the game.
The game, well, start off, we had a thunderous crowd. Man, it was a complete ruckus of a crowd, too. They're going insane down at Coppell Stadium. Buddy at Coles Field. It was a great night to remember. You know, we were actually down 6-1. We were losing 6-1, and then we came back, showed tremendous heart, came back to win it 13-11. That catapults us up into first place of the league. It was a great night. Great night to remember. Hard work from everyone on the lacrosse team.
You know, Petzos, a 6-1 deficit, is that pretty big in lacrosse?
In lacrosse, actually, it depends. You know, in lacrosse, you have these high scoring games and you have low scoring games, so you can't really judge, you know. Depending on the competition level, you'll usually get a high-scoring game like we did last week. But in a game that's one number one versus number two like we just had, yeah, that's a very big deficit. What it does, it kills team morale, especially. But, you know, to rebound like that, it takes a lot of guts and takes a lot of heart. And we showed just that. We showed exactly who we are, you know, character.
Excellent. Now, what does this victory mean for playoff implications?
The playoff implications, what it does is it puts us in the first, and it kind of lets everyone know, you know, we mean business on lacrosse, you know, from a judge of lacrosse standpoint. We mean business. We're coming out here. This is our year to win state. We're coming hard, and we'll do whatever we have to win it. And this puts us in first place, so it gives us a good chance to really establish dominance so that when playoff time comes closer and closer, we can hopefully get that number one seed, get a bye.
That's excellent. That's really good to hear.
Now, Alex, I have a question for you. Tell me a little bit about Lax. I've heard a lot of things about these flows and bros. What is this?
Flows and bros is kind of the vernacular, if you will, of the lacrosse world, lacrosse nation itself. Kind of adapted the bro lifestyle. It's more of a kickback, lazy, almost lax, if you will, lifestyle with flow, which is usually in the appearance. It's a longer haircut in the back, longer in the front, usually a little wavy, kind of like a California surfer haircut going on. The bro aspect of it is the kind of chill out, throw the frisbee around with the bros, you know, just kick back in your Sperry's and have a nice time. That's kind of the vernacular where it comes from. They've adopted this lifestyle, and that's kind of what is desired in the lacrosse community nowadays.
Hmm. So lacrosse really transcends athletics and really extends itself into a way of life is what it sounds like.
That's exactly what it does. That is a perfect statement. It's exactly. It's just above all types of athletics now.
Now, Alex, you and I were talking, you know, this past week, and we talked about how lacrosse is sometimes defined as hockey without the skates. What type of player do you have to be? What type of composure, body composition do you need to be to play lacrosse?
You know, for lacrosse, you know, that's a good analogy, Colin, and, you know, hockey, but lacrosse is actually, in itself, in essence, almost all the sports combined. You have the hitting and the running kind of a football. You have the playmaking aspect of basketball and the cuts and whatnot. You have the, you know, speed of hockey, and, you know, you have the throwing motion, kind of like a baseball player does. So it's kind of a combination of all sports. As for makeup of a player, you know, players usually, you know, you have to be able to run for miles on end. We are out there, especially, you know, my position, midfield, we run just to tremendous amount, and so you have to have good legs under you. We're not typically the strongest of athletes out there, but we can definitely run with the best of them. I mean, we run like wolves. We are a wolf pack.
So it sounds like you don't have to be super jacked to play lacrosse.
Yeah, not everybody has to be Colt Weems out there, is what you're saying.
I mean, everyone wants to be Colt Weems. He is, you know, I think strength is definitely an attribute that is you know, respected amongst all sports. And you don't, though. That's what's good about lacrosse, is that you can be, you know, you could be kind of a bigger size, or you could be small, or you could be in between. You could be any size, and there's a position out there for you. You know, usually in the back, you know, everyone always wonders about stick size on the lacrosse field. Well, you know, in the back, by the defense, you usually have the bigger guys. We have Nico Esteve, Michael McCarney, Hunter Hill. They're usually bigger guys, over 6 foot, you know, 200 pounds, and they wield the big sticks. They have 12-inch shafts, yeah, and they have a bigger stick to really, you know, for bigger guys out there. They need that bigger stick to kind of control things. And on the opposite end of the field are usually the smaller guys wielding the smaller sticks as well. You know, size really does matter on the lacrosse field. I think that, you know, that's something that holds true. It depends, you know, what position you are, but there's a position for everyone out there, and it's, you know, it's a great sport.
So, Alex, what you're saying is you don't have to be necessarily the most athletic, the biggest, or the strongest guy. Scotty, it seems you and I should have played lacrosse.
It does look that way. Now, you're talking about stick size. I just want a little more analysis on that. Bigger player, bigger stick. Smaller player, smaller stick. What's the reasoning behind that?
The reasoning behind that is because, you know, if you look, you know, lacrosse at first, like any new sport, can look rather confusing. But actually, there's pretty good reason behind the smaller sticks, bigger sticks. You know, the bigger guys wield the bigger sticks because the smaller guys are usually a little bit quicker. They run around. They really have to penetrate defenses in multiple areas and try to get through and break through and score. They score a lot.
Well, Alex, it seems we're running into overtime here. It's been a laxtastic interview. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. Thank you guys again. Like I said, love what you guys do. Keep it up every week. It's an awesome show.
While it'll be tough to follow what Alex just gave us, it's time for Athlete of the Week. This week's Athlete of the Week for Jesuit is Josh Bell. Josh Bell had 2 home runs for the Jesuit Ranger varsity team, helping us go 3-2 this weekend.
Josh delivered the eventual game-winning home run in the bottom of the 6th inning against Midlothian, securing all 3 RBIs for the team and leading them on to a Jesuit victory.
Now, it's tough to discern which week was more impressive, Bell's week this week or defending champion Michael Scanlon's week from last week. But I think anytime you hit a home run to Picasso's, your week's probably going to look a little better.
And that's why we tip our hats to you this week, Josh Bell, as our Athlete of the Week. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a solid second show here at the Scotty Bart Sports Show. Alongside Matthew Broderick, I'm Christian Bartholomew.
It's been a pleasure serving the Jesuit community once again today. Thank you for being on the show, Lynch.
Oh, it's been great. Love to come back.
Sun's out, guns out, Jesuit.
Good day, and may the good news be yours.
Third Eye Blind is my favorite band.